I am Peter Levitan. I run Peter Levitan and Company, and you are listening to EA Interviews.
EA Interviews, episode 237.
Inspiration, transformation, success stories, and the imperfect action round. 7 days a week. Join Mario Ficini for today's Expert Authority Effect interview.
Do you want to get your company out there? Do you want to create more brand awareness? Do you want more people to know about your services? Well, I'm super excited to have Peter Levitan on the show today. He's an author, speaker, and CEO coach to help you grow your business. I'm going to bring him up right after we thank our sponsor.
Every business needs a book, including yours. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Peter Levitan. Peter, how are you feeling today?
I'm groovy.
I like that word also. I have not heard it in a while, but it's a good one.
We need to go backwards sometimes to go forwards.
I agree. Well, I'm glad you're here today because I know you're a wealth of knowledge. And why would you say PR and advertising is so important for companies?
Well, you got to get the word out. And I'm going to say, I'll maybe say this more than once during this conversation, it is ever more difficult to get the word out about your business, your product, zoos of blogs, podcasts, you know, it's very difficult. So advertising works because you can target people and get them to know who you are and what you're selling.
What do you think most companies are doing wrong when it comes to the PR and the advertising side of things?
I don't think they wake up in the morning and say, I want to be unignorable. And it's a word I stole from a great agency in Canada. So just, let's think about what unignorable means. It means that people are going to pay attention to you. And I always say, what is the alternative? And that's ignorable. And it's, I think it's an objective very few companies actually utilize. Let me use a huge company, Apple, as an example. You cannot ignore Apple. And there are reasons.
What do you think those reasons are?
Well, obviously there's a brand, there was a personality. This is something a lot of companies lack. They don't have a personality or a leader that can get out front. And it's not that it's easy, but let's just go with personality. Just the idea, let's think of Geico, which woke up one day and said, we're like a lizard and it's hard to ignore anything Geico does. So they decided that they're going to be unignorable. And if you think about the insurance business, all of the other major insurance companies kind of follow. They're all doing kind of wacky, crazy advertising. And you can't do it just to be wacky and crazy, but they're getting their messages across. They want to be unignorable.
Now, when you're talking about Steve Jobs and Apple, how important do you think the personality piece is versus the brand?
Well, you have to sell the brand. And, there are guys, I'll use an example, Gary Vaynerchuk. Some of your audience may know of him, Vaynerchuk. And Gary is a personality. He is not really selling his brand as much as he's selling his personality. And he's quite successful. So he's the best example I have of right now of a guy that is selling personality versus a brand. Now we can turn that around, but essentially when you have a spokesperson, a CEO, somebody who's great and compelling, it just helps to drive the business forward. And most people are not either good at it or are not super comfortable at it. I've been lucky in my career that I've worked with some great people who can do that.
Do you think it's somewhere that people should be starting if they're the first 5-10 years in business, do you think they should be starting trying to develop that personality, the brand, or do you think it should be something else?
Well, today, I think that it's very important to have a personal brand. And again, I want to be very cautious here. Not everybody can do that. I mean, I've got clients in manufacturing that are not as savvy as my advertising agency owner type clients. But I think that you can work through it. And if you think it'll help your brand, and I think, I know that brand differentiation is critical. We're all too similar, a lot of people doing the same thing. And personality is one of the major, major drivers. Can you make that happen? You're a little bit born with it. I was lucky to grow up in New York City, which forced me to be outgoing in many ways. I think there's enough information on YouTube channels, even watching a show like yours, where people get an idea what it is like to have a personality and how important it is.
Okay.
I mean, look, you got a great tie. So, you know, let's go with the tie today.
Well, I do appreciate that. And yeah, it's always interesting because branding, I mean, I believe it's important, and I know it adds that element that not every business has. And I think everyone should have a brand, but I also feel like, and I might be wrong, but would you agree that some people early on, they're trying to do too much too quick? I think that might be a good way of saying it.
Well, there's definitely an issue of too much. I was working with a client this morning, and this client has a 40-page PowerPoint deck talking about their business development program. As super smart people, fantastic, very deep. And I said, look, guys, can you get it down to 5 pages? You know, if you can get your plan on 1 page, you're in good shape, right? Keep it simple, stupid is one of my great mottos. I didn't invent it, but it works. I think simplicity is important. Hopefully I'm answering your question, but it's the goal of being unignorable and keeping your message simple, and people will hear you. The other side is to be different. And a lot of people don't really have that as a goal. I mean, if you remember, I hate to keep using Apple as an example. In the 80s, they had a campaign called Different because they were up against Microsoft. And let's face it, they were certainly different than Microsoft.
Yeah, and I think you are doing a great job answering it, because I didn't want to specifically say it or lead the question, if you will. But to the point of doing too much too soon, like you're saying, everyone feels more comfortable doing the 40, 50-page document than distilling it down. Because anyone can go on forever, but it takes, I think you need to have some sort of time under your belt, whether it's a few weeks or at least enough thought put into it. Maybe time's a bad analogy, but I see a lot of companies that just, they're like, we need to build this brand. Like to your point, Gary Vee, we need to build this whole empire. I go, why not get your first 10 clients, your first 100, your first 1,000, whatever the case may be, depending on the industry. But it's like they're just trying to break off this thing and be this, take 20, what takes us 10, 20 years to develop in the first year or two. And, you know, it takes time to develop, I just feel.
Well, it's good to have goals. It's good to be aggressive, assertive, whichever word you prefer. On the other hand, you need to be a little bit patient. You know, there are so many gurus on the internet right now. It's not so much get rich quick, but it's a side hustle. You know, this is a new term for the past 5 or so years. Start a side hustle while you're working for your company and, you know, get rich and make $5,000 a month. And then you can switch over and, you know, quit your job and start all over again. It's not that easy. And the smart guys out there give you the tools, but they'll also tell you this isn't easy stuff. I've never seen anybody not work to get to where they are. And I think Gary Vaynerchuk is an example. I mean, just think of those two guys, Steve Jobs and Gary Vaynerchuk, both very successful personalities, both work very hard. Doesn't come easy. That's a song, I think.
Yeah. And to your point with the personality, because again, instead of just focusing on the clients or customers going, how can we serve them better, which is part of your brand? You know, do you have a brand of excellence or do you have a brand of mediocre? I mean, that's a huge thing that goes into it. Instead of actually instead of just serving the clients and being known for a good service or something, it's like, let's do all these bells and whistles. I know one of the things with logo design and identity. You know, if you can't do a logo in black and white, it doesn't matter what colors you throw on it. Same with this. I mean, I get compliments all the time on the colors and the show and this and that. And I'm appreciative. Don't get me wrong. I put a lot of time, energy, and money into it. But at the essence, I could strip this whole thing down and you can see it in the first 10 episodes. The content is still strong and the essence of it is still strong. What would you say to someone who wants to bulk up their content and bulk up their services? Where can we start? Like, you know, if it was 100 years ago and we didn't have internet and all this other stuff, how did those companies succeed? What would you say to one of those companies that wants to just get right at the core?
Well, I'll say a few things. One is content development is difficult, just even trying to develop content. So that's number one. Number two, today, it's very difficult to break through the clutter. The clutter is unbelievable. I mean, just so many people trying to get your attention. You know, it's very, very difficult. The question is, you know, how to do it. And I think you pay very smart marketers to help you do that. That's one of the reasons, I'm not going to say I'm a super smart marketer, but it's the reason I get hired. Content is interesting because it can be accelerated. It can be reused. Again, I was talking to a client morning. They're going to do a podcast, which can be turned into a transcript, which can be turned into a blog post, which can be put on LinkedIn. It can be cut up into videos. They can create videos from it. We have to amplify what we do. Otherwise, you'll lose your mind. I'm a one-person operation. The agency I was talking to is 200 people, and even they have trouble. So I said, look, everybody, let's all calm down. Let's not try to do everything. But when you do something, how can we amplify it? How can we cut it up and put it into different programs? I didn't invent this. This has been ongoing for a while. But it's, again, I think that people have to realize that they have to think strategically and also start worrying about their time, because, you know, you also have to do business. So it's not just content. I mean, you have to make a living. It's, you know, it's complicated.
I want to ask you, I don't expect you to name them, as well you shouldn't, but the 200 plus company, what are some typical issues you see with large companies such as that?
Well, I'm like a, I always say to people, I'm like a cancer doctor. I mean, nobody comes to me if they're super healthy and they're not sick. So the kinds of companies I work with are companies that want to accelerate and craft their business development strategy. And over time, well, I started out working for clients like General Mills or British Airways and so forth. Now I work with agencies, but all of a sudden I'm sort of, other companies are kind of sneaking in and asking me to help them. The greatest issue, I think, is the people at the top have to want to be sales oriented. You know, you can make things, but if people are not buying it, you've got a problem. So the issue with a lot of companies, I think, is they don't make business development one of their core strengths. They just don't get it. And again, I want to be cautious. These are the kinds of people that come to me. They're not coming to me because they're healthy. They've got a problem, right?
So it goes back to those core strengths that, like you're talking about, you can have all the bells and whistles in the world, but if you have a problem internally, it's just going to, I think, what is it, implode?
Yeah, you need, I mean, look, it's very simple. In general, for most companies, the vibrations and the goals and objectives and the style come from the top. And I realize there are companies with, you know, thousands of people, but still, I mean, we know who are the great CEOs and they drive the company and it works. And if the guys leading the company are not oriented towards, and this is my world, towards sales, it's going to be a problem. And, you know, we see a thing with a lot of companies, sales is on side and marketing is on the other. It's insanity. It's really, it should be one group of people all trying to do what they wake up in the morning doing. And this includes people that want to start a one-person internet business selling socks. I mean, this isn't rocket science. It works and cuts across all types of businesses, one person to 1,000 people. Sell stuff.
What would you say is the difference between advertising, marketing, and sales?
Well, that's a very good question, because to me, they meld. Often you'll see in a company, the marketing people are the ones that do advertising, public relations, get the word out, get the messaging out, think about the website and so forth. And they're over here even doing pay-per-click advertising on Google, and they're driving people to the sales group. And then you have this other group of people that are receiving incoming inquiries or leads. And sometimes both of these groups are not talking. They're not talking about the same objectives. A sales guy will get a lead and go, where did this come from? Why is this person contacting me? So the marketing group has to make sure that they're aligned with sales in terms of the type of customer that they're looking for. It's not just getting leads, for example. It's getting the kind of lead that makes sense for the company. So when they don't talk, and I've seen this often, there's a disconnect, and it's very expensive disconnect.
And how much would you say, if you were to add a dollar amount to that, it could cost a company just not having the communication or having that conversation?
Well, there's a labor cost, there's a time cost, there's an opportunity cost. These are the kinds of costs that you're seeing. Labor is obvious. You have people getting paid a salary, and let's just say they're not functioning at, I don't know what the optimum is, let's call it 80%. In terms of sales, they're not selling the right stuff. And I think the opportunity, the loss of an opportunity, is underestimated by companies. If there's a market out there that you should be talking to and selling to, and you're not, and it's an easier than more difficult sale, then you've lost an opportunity. And that's the efficiency that a CFO, COO, and CEO, marketing director should be aiming towards. Easier said than done.
Very good expert authority insight, though, because if you're not doing it, it could be, you know, limitless on the, like you're saying, the opportunity cost is huge, but again, it's not gonna, and I don't ever like to lead people on and be like, yeah, do these three things. It's going to happen overnight, to our point earlier, you know, keep it simple, but you know, there's no magic bullet, you know, like you're saying right now, again, you know, easier said than done. I'm glad you're sharing the framework, but I'm also glad you're
Part of this is figuring out what your audience, your market wants to hear. Again, it's rudimentary, but I'll give you an example. I'm talking to this company this morning, and I said, how can you own, quote, unquote, the category? How can you be a category leader in this one specific category that they're working in? And my suggestion to them was to do low-cost research. We don't do a lot of man on the street research at the moment. Mask on the street, that would not quite be as interesting as it used to be. But there's a tool I push people towards. It's called Google Surveys. And you can use the Google universe, which is like almost everyone on the planet, to run surveys and research. And if it's compelling research, your target market will want to hear it and pay attention to it. And they'll be interested in what you have to say. And you can do that every month. So there are a lot of things going on there. I'm a huge fan of research. It makes a lot of sense and people pay attention to it. And you can do it at a very low cost.
That's a great point, because when you have that research, when you have the numbers, when you have the actual facts, you can act on it. And it's not just, oh, I think someone would like this, or I think someone would appreciate that. You know, there's a big difference from arbitrary to empirical.
Yes. And we're all starved for, we're starved for time. We're, you know, with so much going on, if somebody gives you something useful, you will pay attention to them. There's a value proposition here. Give people something that helps them and they will pay attention. I always used to say that if somebody wasn't interested in my brilliance, then I would move on to the next customer kind of deal. But in most cases, you know, that's just me. In most cases, people are interested in information that will drive their business forward, and they will continue to pay attention to you over the long haul if you provide that information. So let me use you as an example. I think you're close to 200 podcasts. Is that right?
Just over now.
Just over. Okay. I mean, that's miraculous. I mean, that's an incredible amount of information. And I'm sure you're not doing this for your health, although talking to me must be a wonderful experience for you. You're doing it because it's a huge amount of content that people find interesting and of value. And that's how it works. So whether it's a podcast or a blog post or research, something that adds value to the target market, to the recipient, will return, will deliver a high return on investment. And that's really what it's about. That's marketing. If you can have a high ROI, you win.
I love that you're sharing that great expert authority effect insight. And I want to ask you about your beginning, because how did you get in this? Why did you choose this over anything else you could have?
Well, I journey, you know, I'm not 27 anymore. So my first job was as a professional photographer in San Francisco. And I had clients like Mondavi and MasterCard at San Francisco magazine when I was in my early 20s. And I realized at that point a couple of things. One, I didn't want to be a photographer anymore, sanitized, because I would not have gotten those jobs had I not learned how to do, at least in those days, very early rudimentary sales. So my world has been at least three or four companies that I started myself. I also spent 16 years at the world's largest agency. So I know big corporate and I know how to start businesses. I can tell you that if you have the right product at the right time or the right service, it works. Today, what I do on consulting, I do because I sold an advertising agency 7-8 years ago. And people said, hey, can you help me? And I said, sure, let's do it. And I am, to a certain extent, a nomad, a digital nomad. I can work from anywhere. And I live in Mexico, but in the good old days, like it's in January. I know we want to be timeless on podcasts, but it's been a few months people got on airplane, but I used to be able to do that. I could work from any hotel room anywhere in the world.
Yeah. And that's the great thing about technology nowadays. You know, the last couple of decades, none of this is new. Some people approach me and they're like, oh my gosh, you're live streaming the show. I'm like, this is nothing new. We've watched the Olympics for how many years? It's the same thing. But what's cool about it is anyone can be doing it now. It's not costing $1,000 a second to broadcast it over 28.8 or 56K dial-up, or, you know, the early days of cable modems where you could barely get a 1 meg file transferred. It's limitless what's at our fingertips now, which I think is great. And to your point of working from anywhere, there's no reason not to. I mean, as long as you can get the result, and you're competent, you know, you can stay on a schedule and work with the team. I got team members for EA interviews all around the world. I like looking for the best of the best people who are going to support and capture that vision. Not just, you know, I don't want someone who's just going to punch the clock from 9 to 5. And it doesn't even resonate. It actually irritates my personality, to be honest.
There are people and companies around the world that are working 24/7 to help us. I'll give you a couple of examples. I get my transcripts done by a company. While I'm sleeping, they're making transcripts and podcasts. I have a company in the Soviet Union that helps me do virtual voiceovers. I type it into their application and it creates a computer voice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's an interesting comment. I'm trying to think of their name. I can't right now. If people listen to a couple of my podcasts, they'll hear a AI voice talking. And it's a day where I want to do the intro to the podcast. And I have these strange, and you can pick the language. Do you want an English sounding person, an Australian sounding person? You could even do it in Russian. They'll translate into Russian, which is not necessarily a huge market for me. But it's funky and interesting. And again, I'll go back. I try to be unignorable, and it's slightly unignorable. If you'd like me to mention one other thing, which is kind of funny.
Oh, please do. We got time.
Okay. All right. I work with a company, and anyone can work with this company. I'll name them Cameo, as in Cameo.
Oh, yes.
And you pay celebrities or comedians. I use a person that has delivered, a couple of people actually have delivered videos to me. One is Donald Trump saying I'm fantastic. I've got a couple of those. I have Mahatma Gandhi from India saying that Peter Levitan is fantastic. And I just had someone do a Borat piece. So I've got Borat saying you should work with Peter Levitan. And these are $60, $70, $80. Now you can also, I think, get Tyson to say something. That's a different story. That's, you know, that's borrowed interest. But I love that I can get impersonators to be Donald Trump, who says, I am the smartest person in the world, except also for Peter Levitan. Maybe Donald in a short period of time might be doing those as well. Maybe get him on Cameo.
Yeah, when I heard about that, I saw the entire cast of The Office, I think was the very first people. I got an ad from Facebook or who knows where or whatever. But it's funny when you can get anyone, not just being able to live stream, not just being able to work from anywhere, but you can literally get anyone in the world. It's funny that it's so easy to access them now. Because there's all these social, a lot of them really are run by those people. Facebook pages are something different, but I found with Instagram and Twitter, it's usually the person doing it. And especially if they do live streams, they're probably not hiring a stunt double to do their live stream. You know what I mean? They might have someone automating something on Facebook or LinkedIn, But I found with Twitter and Instagram, it's pretty just cut through the clutter, like you're saying. And with Cameo, there's all the people that, you know, 20, 50, 100, 200 bucks or whatever, and you get access to them. That's miraculous. You never had that ever that I can think of. I remember writing actual letters in the mail back in the day from people in the 90s that I saw on TV and, you know, just was writing them letters and stuff. And it's surreal now that some of them are on the list to be on the show. And I'm half wondering if they ever got it, because I was reaching out to people 20, 30 years ago. And it's just cool now. You don't need to go through all those hoops, but you can still get access to them.
I'll say that one of the most underutilized tools in 2020, 21 moving forward is mail. And, you know, we can kind of get worried and saying, are people getting mail if you send it to their corporate headquarters? But it is getting forward. You know, getting a letter now, a number 10 envelope with a stamp on it, to me, that kind of looks personalized. It's like a Christmas present. You know, we're so digitally oriented that if you can break the mold and send something to somebody. I use a company in the UK that creates sort of mini newspapers for me. I use it actually for my, I still do photography. And when I go to a place like India and photograph people, I make a newspaper out of it and send it to them. You could use this for your sales program. It's, the goal is just, how can you be different? Because the problem with things like blogs, and I started very early, is that when I started, people, I was found. It's very difficult now to get found because it's just this, you know, the amount is overwhelming.
Yeah, so like you're saying, all the clutter out there
on paper. Yeah, so do paper. No one's doing paper. You know, send them a present. You know, Christmas is coming. You know, I think
one of the things I tell my author clients and audiences, whether they have a book or not, all the more reason to do a business book. You can send it in the mail and they can physically hold it in their hand. You can write a note in it. I mean, if you're going to pay for direct mail, pay for copies of your book. I mean, that's a huge one.
Absolutely.
But handwritten letters are also huge.
I don't think anyone. Yeah. Go for it. Send them a t-shirt. I don't know. You know, be creative. You know, we know that there are companies that make, the New York word is tchotchke, you know, little things that come in the mail with your logo on them. Those break through, and they used to break through. I think they break through even more now because people are not getting things. I mean, it's just, you know, the only thing people are getting, this is almost like a joking up, is takeout food.
Yeah, I'm glad you're talking about this because so many people forget
donuts.
It.
Forget that you can actually get delivered. Again, I want to say it's like getting Christmas presents. Who gets mail? I mean, it's such a weird, you know, you get your ballot in the mail. Okay, now let's get past that, everybody. We know that works. Most of us think it works. And now let's send something else. I mean, it's just try to break the mold. Even if you're a small company, and our factory making lead pipe, or I don't know if they make lead pipes anymore. They make pipes. You can break out. It does work.
Absolutely. I'm really glad you're mentioning this because everyone was doing everything physically. And then it was like email came out 20 some years ago, whatever, 25. Don't fact check me on that, whoever's listening, but catch the concept. You get the email and then everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's so much cheaper. So they stopped doing the direct mail. And everyone's like, oh, you know, email's not working anymore. So send something. And the cool thing is no one's doing very small percentage other than us are doing direct mail. It's a wide open playing field. Like you said, who gets stuff in the mail anymore? And if they do, it's some stupid advertisement, a bill, or that's basically about it. You send them something good in the mail. I mean, why do you think Amazon's doing so well? Ooh, good, my order's here. Some fun stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Let's make the mail fun again.
I was talking to a client this week, and I told them that I had done some research on positioning for my company. You know, what's the next thing we should talk about? And I wanted to do the research and ask the market what they thought. And let's say I had 50 potential clients on my list, right? And that's important to have a good tight list. We sent them a paper and a digital questionnaire and told them if they answered, they would get a Amazon gift card. Very simple.
Oh, okay? Nice.
And you know what? Everyone, because it was as much research as it was business development, everyone got an Amazon gift card. Everybody was a winner because I wanted those 50 people to love us. And as it turned out, we got Harrah's Casino as a client. Because the client, we said to the client, thank you, to the marketing director, thank you so much for answering our questionnaire, your gift card. And she called me up and said, who are you? Who are you people? So that was just one very specific example of breaking through clutter and getting my agency, a Las Vegas casino, as a client. And that was, I love that story because all it took was a $10 Amazon gift card. And I got to talk to the marketing director of Harrah's who said, who are you? Works.
Wow, that's a great story. Well, I have one more question for you before we thank our sponsor and come back for the imperfect action round. And it's dealing with the wheel of whatever, so we're going to see where this thing ends up today. All right, so my question for you is, what is a company you would love to work with that you haven't yet?
Well, I've never sold cars, so I think the idea of selling cars is interesting because here's why. One, they spend money. Two, they have to try to create some form of, as I said earlier, differentiation. I used to have a Ford Bronco in the 70s. You know, it's now this is probably worth $150,000. Everybody wants a Ford Bronco. Or just relaunched the Bronco, and I think it would be just fabulous to sell it. I think to a certain extent that they've sold out because the market wants it. So marketing products that sell out is its own unique problem, right? You know, because you want to make sure 2 years from now. So I'd love to sell Ford Broncos. Plus I'd get one for free.
That would be great. And I did notice that they just did bring them back. And I remember those from years ago. So it's interesting to see what disappears, then comes back. And to your point of the personality and the brand, you know, I don't think the Bronco or Ford Henry Ford is the personality that strikes out to me, but that was 100 some plus years ago. But the brand of the Bronco, even when you take it away, I've noticed when companies take it away for whatever reason, the customers just, they're like, absolutely not. We're not having this. You got 12 months to bring it back, basically, kind of thing.
Right. Well, the Bronco, they messed it up. You know, they took this great looking box and then they turned it into, they wanted to make it a little bit sweeter and nicer. And if you think about the Bronco brand, unfortunately, one of the essences of the Bronco brand is OJ driving from the police or, you know, the chase on the highway for hours for those of you. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, OJ and the Bronco, just search on YouTube. It's OJ Simpson in his Bronco for an hour and a half driving down the LA freeway. I'm not sure that was a good commercial for the Bronco. So. Branding sometimes happens to you. As they say, it just happens. You know, I won't say the word, but it happens. So life can be like that, right?
Absolutely. Well, we're going to thank our sponsor. We're going to come back for the imperfect action round.
You've heard me say every business needs a book, including yours. And it's true. And that's why you should visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. But you know what? Don't take my word for it. Take it from a few of my authors, like Lori.
And I went from having an idea and a possibility to actually getting my book published.
Or Catherine.
Thank you for making my mom number one best-selling author.
Or Mary Alice.
What he got done for me in 3 days regarding my book launch, unmanageable.
John Cody.
I've worked with Mario over the phone and online, and he's been very helpful in getting me where I needed to go with promoting my books.
Rocio.
There's no way in the world I would have been able to do this with somebody else. I've attempted it in the past. It didn't serve me. As a matter of fact, I ended up more frustrated than anything. So this has been a very seamless process.
Adele.
If you're looking for an amazing business coach, I highly recommend Mario Ficini.
Or Bill Benner.
I can't make a higher recommendation than to work with Mario Ficini. He has been great for me. And right now, I won't work with anybody else except for Mario.
Hey, their words, not mine. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now, and I look forward to hearing your transformation as the next video success story. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com. And we are back with the Imperfect Action Round. Peter, are you ready to take imperfect action?
I am so imperfect.
All right. These are 60-second or less answers. I got a couple questions for you. The first one is, what is the fastest path to the profits?
Well, I hate to say this, but controlling your costs. I mean, it sounds insane, but I would say one of them is controlling costs, and the other is saying something that is more unique and interesting than the next guy. Because you're rarely alone, even if you sell socks. You know, there are sock companies that make a lot more money than others. Have cool socks. I'll use that as a metaphor.
Nice. Number two, what is the biggest problem you see your prospects making and the fastest way for them to fix it?
Well, it's getting the attention of your market, whoever you are. And that is a problem that many, many people just cannot solve. So I suggest, some of the solutions are, as I mentioned earlier, solution ideas, actually that one, spend a half a day looking at what everybody else does to the successful people and steal from them. There's a great book I love called Steal Like an Artist. I've been doing that for years.
All right. Number three, what is the best way to maximize customer lifetime value?
Well, you used the word earlier, and I know there are critical problems with email, but if you have an email list and you can market out to them, obviously you can do things on LinkedIn and there are other tools, but I am still a fan of email marketing. I may only get 20, 30% opens when I send out an email, but that's still 20 to 30% of the few thousand people that are on my mailing list, and it works.
Excellent. You had mentioned one, but feel free to mention it again with any others. What are some books you'd recommend to Expert Authority World that have made a difference in your life?
Well, I would say that I'll make it simple for people because it's not, my list would be incredibly long. Go on Amazon, search on business books. I would say to people, spend 2 or 3 hours trying to resolve a question. So while I can tell, I could probably name a bunch of books if my brain worked and if I wasn't thinking more about cocktail hour than books at the moment, I'd say go online and, for example, just search on best, BEST, search on best business books. You know, the word best is a great one, best car, best book, best everything, best movie, best Netflix series. It's a great word, and there are so many people that want to tell you what is best, but I would say, search on Amazon, because Amazon will, essentially deliver a quantitative look at whatever subject you're trying to figure out.
All right.
By the way, side note, I know he's sort of strange these days, but I'm reading the biography of Woody Allen. Just seeing how Woody went from nobody in Brooklyn to making movies is very interesting. I think creative books about creative people that make it, are in some cases some of the best business books.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you for sharing that insight. Where would you like people to learn more?
Well, I try to keep life simple. My website is called Peter Levitan, LEVITAN.com. And I'll tell people that I'm putting something up in a couple of weeks, which is a guide, and you're the last person that needs to hear this, a guide to how do you do virtual meetings and sales calls. And because I get asked this question a lot, so I'm interviewing 4 experts, including a neuroscientist, about how the brain works on Zoom.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, there's so many people that, You know, Zoom's been around for ages. It's going to be around for ages. And it sounds like a great resource because so many people use it nowadays, but it's not going anywhere. And I unless you're in video, I don't think you're going to be looking at it as the way you could be, because if you're just using it as a conferencing thing, people are just like, if as long as they get a signal and they get a picture, they're like, oh, I've mastered it. And any type of live stream software, any type of web conferencing, any type of anything video related is so much more than that. They're just conduits. So I'm glad you're making that available.
Well, the other thing, I didn't say this earlier, people should write books. And, you know, as you're the man, so you can help people do that. And you're not going to write a business book to make money selling the book, but you use you'll make money using the book for sales. You can quote me on that.
Well, I appreciate it. And I just might. And doesn't hurt that it's getting recorded and live streamed. So thank you for that.
Cool. My pleasure.
All right. Well, I've enjoyed this. Thank you so much, Peter. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you for sharing with Expert Authority World.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me on.
All right, Expert Authority World, we have another great episode here today. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. God bless.
You're already the expert, but have you transformed your expertise into a tangible asset that will generate and qualify leads while increasing profit for you 24/7? And if so, how well are you promoting it? With the Expert Authority Effect publishing method, it's easier and faster than ever. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you got a lot out of it. I know I sure did. If you haven't done so already, I invite you to subscribe to the show. And also be sure to check out eainterviews.com for complete show notes, the full interview video experience, links to the resources we mentioned, and more. Have a blessed day, and I'll see you tomorrow.